Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease, fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams, so whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on. Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle. And they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness, and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp. No GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals. All verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. This is the ZABEcast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Well, Andy, we have just watched one of the most bonkers final plays of the entire NFL season. Maybe one of the craziest final calls by the referees to end an NFL game in our lifetime. But the Detroit Lions have gone down to the Pittsburgh Steelers on an OPI call, the second that has negated a touchdown in the final 20 seconds at home to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, my God. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. And, you know, I think it was it last week or the week before where we were bemoaning about how crappy the football was for the weekend. This 5-day period just wiped it out. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah. Even when it's bad, there's always going to be something dramatic about it. So we are sitting here taping in our normal sweet spot on a Sunday night at about 7:45 p.m., trying to get this thing whistled in so we can enjoy the night game, which is the Ravens and the Patriots. And Andy says to me, I text him, I'm like, all right, let's get this done now. I'm ready for the night game. And Andy says, hold on, I want to watch the end of the Lions game. They still have a chance.
Yeah.
I had already given up on the Lions, and so I'm like, all right, what is Andy talking about? I turn the game on in my studio, and I'm like, oh, yes, they do still have a chance. Yeah. And so then I start watching, and it comes down to the final play. And the referees are huddled up, and mayhem is ensuing, and nobody knows what the final call is going to be. Are they going to get another untimed down to try to throw it in the end zone for the win? And Andy pops on, logs on to this platform, and says, okay, I'm ready. And I go, wait a minute, are you ahead of me? Because I figured you might be one of those cable guys
that's
40 seconds ahead. I'm like, did the Lions win or what happened? And you said, oh, I don't know, I just figured they were dead, so I turned it off. And I'm screaming at Andy going, no, you got to turn it back on. This is unbelievable. This is like they're sitting there standing around deciding the fate of the Detroit Lions entire season right now.
Well, I mean, and this is history repeating itself. It's not quite the Immaculate Reception, but same thing.
Oh, it is similar, isn't it?
Yeah, the referee's huddling up. There's no instant replay then either. And there was a call to Art McNally in the booth to go, like, you know, what do we do here? And they go, well, what'd you see on the field? And, you know, to this day, well, Al Davis went to his grave thinking
Fuqua touched the ball. He clearly touched the ball.
Yeah. Well, the rules were different then, too. Now it would have been an easy call. But
right. In
those days, the rules, the two offensive players couldn't touch the ball simultaneously or one followed by the other. And there was a feeling like if this one went against the Steelers, that the referees weren't getting out of Three River Stadium alive. So I don't know whether that was the case, but Al Davis believed that.
Isn't that the apocryphal tale that Al Davis claims the referees asked, how much security do you have for us?
Yeah, that was supposedly the call to Art McNally,
the
supervisor of officials who was in the booth. How much security do you have?
And I think they said, we got one cop. And the referee said, touchdown Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, that's a shot in a beer town, you know.
My God.
They were, but, you know, they had not yet become the Steelers. And they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, but it was like their first playoff win in like 40 years or something like that.
So with the loss, I don't believe the Lions are officially out, but they need the Packers to lose their final two for sure.
Okay.
The Packers' magic number is down to one. They just needed a combination of two things, either Detroit losses or wins by themselves. And so it's going to come right down to it in the end. And this is how the NFL is a $25 billion enterprise.
Right.
Because it's damn exciting. Even when we have quarterbacks lined up for Christmas Day, Andy, that will make you puke in your mouth. And we're going to get to that here today on the Zabecast. Before we get into the meat of it, and there is so much to talk about, including the state of sports media today, several jarring stories that I saw. Also, we'll talk about the state of college football following the first round of games and Kenny Dillingham openly berating rich people. Hey, man, can't you write a check for $25 million? And you've got Tom Brady.
You only wanted
20? Okay, whatever. And then Tom Brady apparently is tilted that Giselle, the girl from Ipanema, has happily remarried to the jiu-jitsu instructor. So we got a lot to talk about. And of course, Commanders and Eagles game and the quarterback situation. I got to talk about the Packers loss to the Bears. So before we get into all of that, Andy went to the movies this weekend and was a solo rider in a otherwise gigantic theater. Yeah. I don't know what movie he went to see. I'm curious. Do I get to guess which movie you saw literally by yourself?
You'll never guess the movie. And there were some extenuating circumstances to this. It was a Friday, not a Saturday. You know that I'm a morning movie person.
Oh, okay.
And I used to go when it was $6 on Saturday to the movies. I don't go very often anymore, but
there's nothing
I was off
to see
on Friday. Well, okay. I was off on Friday. I have, you know, at the end of the year, use it or lose it days. So I've been taking 3-day weekends here and there. And I thought, well, let me check the movies. So I look at the movie guide, and the Rio theaters in Gaithersburg, I see that, believe it or not, there are 9 a.m. movies on Friday. Well, 9 a.m. to me is a great time of day.
It's prime time for an Alta Cocker like you.
Oh, yeah. I've been up for 5 hours at that point. So I see that there's a movie. It's a dramedy called Ella McKay. And it has three actors of my generation that I really like: Jamie Lee Curtis, Albert Brooks, and Woody Harrelson. And so I go with online, you know, now you have to make a reservation and you get your seat. It used to be so easy. You just, you know, lay down your $6 and go see the movie. So I go in the theater and I sit down and there's nobody in there. Well, that's not unusual. And if you really know movies, you know, there's a half hour of previews anyway. So you don't have to show up when the movie's supposed to start. But as we're getting closer and closer to showtime, there's nobody except me in the theater. Now, I've been in theaters where there've been 4 or 5 others, never by myself. And I had a private showing of this movie. So fortunately, it wasn't one of these uproarious laughter type of movies, because that would have been really weird, just me sitting there laughing myself. Right. But I thought this cannot be a good business model. They're showing a movie with just me in the theater. I don't get it.
Emma Mackey is the lead. She's a lovely looking middle-aged, yeah, youngish middle-aged, 30-something-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. The wonderful Jamie Lee Curtis, also in the movie, along with cameos by Albert Brooks and Woody Harrelson, both still alive.
Well, Woody Harrelson is I think younger than I am, but yeah, Albert Brooks
is
a little bit younger, might be 60, something like that.
Oh, 60s. I'm sorry. Woody Harrelson. I was thinking Woody, the other Woody that's
Woody Guthrie.
No, Soon Yi and Woody.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. Woody, yes.
Yeah. Well, he's a pedophile, but he's still alive. Yes.
Okay. Woody Harrelson, 64.
Okay, a little younger than I.
So a little bit younger than you. Okay. Yeah. Did you like the movie?
Yes, I understood what it was. It's not going to win any awards, okay? And it was like, you know, two hour and 15 minute kind of okay escape. And
what was it about?
It's about this woman, Ella McKay, who is lieutenant governor, becomes governor, and there's a whole lot of different machinations.
So a involved. Political dramedy.
Nothing political. It was more about her life.
A dram-com or a dramedy? Yeah. Meaning,
I would call it a dramedy. Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit of funny and okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it not only will it not win any awards, it also won't make money. Because even though it costs,
that was just me in the theater. It's not going to make money, and I didn't even buy any popcorn.
It cost like $80 million, and it's netted like 12 or something like that. It got 24% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty bad, even from the audience score.
It'll be on Netflix in about an hour, but you know.
But you went there, yeah. And so what did you think as you were in that empty, cavernous theater watching this movie?
I was thinking that, you know, we are at the 50th anniversary of the first blockbuster, which was Jaws, where you had people lined up around the block, and that led to the whole Star Wars thing, and how, you know, movies used to be a big thing. And if you went out on a Saturday night, you better get to the box office early because you might not get in. And we're at the point now where I just don't understand how the business model can survive.
Really sad. It used to be every Christmas season there was 2 or 3 movies that you had to go see. And there was a lot of debate amongst your family. Well, which one are we going to go see? We're talking, you know, things like Titanic that came out over Christmas and other
Godfather. Right. Yeah, all those movies. Right.
Now, Avatar is making the most money. I would rather gouge my eyes out than watch another Avatar. I saw the first one. I understand James Cameron is all into this stuff, and I'm like, good for you. It's going to make a ton of money. It's like a three-hour movie, and it stinks.
Yeah.
For those that care thing. About real people in a real movie.
I can't sit through a three-hour movie. I'm not going to make it.
You can't hit pause on the big screen. Although,
no.
Although, since you're the only one, you wish that somebody at the Rio theaters would say, here's the remote. If you got to go take a piss, just hit pause. Imagine somebody walking into Auditorium 7. Ella McKay, why is it paused? Oh, that's right. Well, Andy's also taking a piss.
Also, I could do what I did in an emergency when I was doing high school football games, that you could bring a bottle in and, take care of your business because there was nobody else in the theater to see it.
Yeah. Avatar, the SpongeBob movie, which my daughter's excited for, The Housemaid with Sydney Sweeney and Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, that was another option. I saw the preview for Housemaid. It was at the same time, but I thought, it's not something I really want to see.
Right. And then a dark comedy called Is This Thing On with Will Arnett and Laura Dern, where a divorcee is struggling and doing stand-up comedy. And then a good one for you, Andy, my Jewish friend, David, is a animated movie about the Bible tale.
If I watch cartoons, I'm going to watch them with my grandchildren. I'm not going to watch them by myself.
This movie, Marty Supreme, is coming out next week. And I don't know what the hell that's. I don't even know. I've just seen ads. It's very sad. It's very sad. Okay. It's sad, like the state of many things in today's world, at least the media world that we live in. Let's start with this. WFAN, the all sports station that you started at in New York City, the very first 24/7 all sports radio station, has finally discontinued updates. The 2020 ticker that was an iconic part of that, station is now no longer, except for in the mornings. They're going to keep a 2020 in the morning with the updates. Otherwise, everyone who did updates, gone, including our former colleague, Rich Ackerman.
Yeah, I talked to Ack, and Ack, was ready to go at that point, and he thought that things had deteriorated there. But let me tell you how important updates were for the launch of that station. In the research that they did in putting it together, they found that 35% of the listenership on the then two all news stations, it's now only one, but WINS and WCBS, which did updates at 15 and 45, 35% of the listenership was to hear those sports updates. And the only other way you were going to get scores was sports phone. You paid 50 cents to make a call, and somebody, and some of them became famous, like Linda Cohn and Howie Rose, who's the Mets announcer. They would spit out as many scores as they could in like the minute the phone call recording lasted. And that's how you found out scores. So they said, okay, well, if the news stations are only doing them twice an hour, we're going to do four times an hour.
Wow.
It's going to be. And so I was one of the update people. Susan Waldman was one of them. There was John Clossy, who's just passed away, was another one. Mark Boyle, who's been the voice of the Pacers for 35 years, was another. Ed Coleman did it. We all got started that way. And we had, expensive talk show hosts like Jim Lampley and Greg Dumble. And here we are interrupting their interviews every 15 minutes to tell you at 10 o'clock in the morning what the Knicks did the night before. But that's what they wanted. And that was their business model. And
well, in addition,
to
scores during the day, as I'm just thinking about, during the run of the day, it's important about things like, where would you know whether or not, let's say, Chad Pennington was going to start the following week for the Jets?
Yeah.
You would hear it in the update.
Trades.
And from Florham Park, the Jets have announced that Chad Pennington is good to go for Sunday. Okay.
Right.
You heard it right there because it was not on your phone. So those things were necessary. They're not really necessary now. However, I liken it to a fine restaurant that says we can do away with our hostess, our lovely looking woman at the front of the restaurant behind the kiosk that welcomes you to the restaurant, takes your name down. We can replace it with a kiosk and a touchscreen, and it'll do the same thing. But don't you want to spend to make it nicer? Even though I wouldn't need updates listening to sports radio, it was nice to have them. A 90-second shot of, here's the latest from whatever.
Yeah.
That's depressing to me. Also, it's where I, like you, Andy, got our foot in the door in the medium. It was a great starting point to prove you could do something more on air. Where is going to be the new avenue to get into being a talk show host?
I have no idea. And the talk show host jobs are drying up. Along with the updates, down with the CBS Sports Network, or now Xfinity Sports Network.
Right.
And people I know work there, like Jody McDonald, who was one of the original talk show hosts on The Fan, was there. He went down with the ship, as did a lot of people. And the whole industry is changing. And that's why, I used to discourage kids not to get in it. Now I tell them, you're out of your mind if you're trying to get in it, because there's just no jobs anymore.
Well, you and I would say the same thing, too. I would say, look, I've been lucky, but in a million years, I would never try this again. This was this was like an Indiana Jones run through the Temple of Doom to avoid bad PDs and downsizing and saying one wrong fucking word and getting fired for it. There's boulders rolling at you. You're jumping over stuff. It's not a stable career, right? And so I would say, I would say in a million years, I would never do it again. And people would look at me kind of sideways like, wow, really? And I go, really? Well, now you and I don't even have to tell people don't get into it, because it's pretty much disappearing. There's nothing to get into anymore. There's no jobs soon enough.
I tell them I rode in on a covered wagon. It doesn't exist anymore. Like my first job in Port Arthur, Texas, you can't get in that way anymore, because there's no such thing as a Port Arthur, Texas where you can get your start. It's crazy.
So I guess everyone that had been at the Infinity Sports Network, which was the former CBS Sports Network, which was a pretty robust national sports network that punched on equal footing as ESPN Radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
It got tossed over to Westwood One, a different company, and they just decided to replace everybody. And I'm going to bet it wasn't for more money that they replaced everybody for.
Oh, no.
Because the new lineup of names, and I still keep a pretty good tab on the industry because I'm still in it, barely. I'm like looking at the names going, I've never heard of these people. I mean, good for them, but wow. Like, okay, so what are we doing here?
Yeah, no, the one of the people is the only, I texted it to you, is Linnell Willingham, who does work at
I know Linnell.
Yeah, and I only know him because he's local. These other guys I've never heard of.
Right, and I think Linnell's young, and he's good, and he's got some potential, but I don't know the world that he is swimming into at this point. So, when they used to let four people sit in a room, either behind the glass or in the studio, to do a show that has depth and dynamic conversation, like we used to do with the sports reporters, me plus you plus a third plus Solly behind the glass. It's four bodies. They're like, well, we could do it with three. Now they're saying, why do we need three? We should just do two. It used to be, well, let's do 3 hours at a time. That's a reasonable amount of time to be fresh on the air. Now it's like four, maybe four plus, depending on the shift. And I believe the guy that they hired for the morning show at the new Infinity Network, or the new, that's what it is. No, the new Westwood One national lineup, they're calling it, is this guy, Drake C. Toll. He is the play-by-play guy for the Savannah Bananas, and he wears a fur coat, and it's like his shtick, and sunglasses. He's 24 years old, and he's an earnest-sounding, knows sports, rah-rah guy, and good for him. But I'm like, so just him? It's not Drake Toll and the Party Animals, and it's not an ensemble cast? This is a morning network show. They're going to make you slog through that shift with one guy?
And his business is visual. He deals in visual.
Right.
How does he do a show that's audio?
His training his experience so far has been mostly calling play by play, but he's hosted other shows. Anyway, I wish him the best of luck. I don't know where it's going. And they're servicing these smaller sports radio stations across the land when they don't have local programming. So it's trying to fill in the gaps.
Is there any money in that?
I don't know anymore.
Because I was in on the expansion of ESPN. like when Tony's show, and I came along with it, it went to ESPN in 1998. The only show that they had on was The Fabulous Sports Babe. And then they had Tony Bruno and others hosted weekend night programming. So they did Saturday and Sunday night, and that was it. And so that was an expansion period of time where they also looked at it and said, well, in order to make money, we got to get this product on in big markets. So they bought big market stations. They bought stations in Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. That was the only way they could get their programming on. That's been abandoned now. ESPN doesn't, even the station that they, well, they, I don't even know how the ownership works, but what is ESPN radio in New York doesn't carry the morning show that ESPN produces.
Yeah. So, to me, terrestrial sports radio can be a really good, reliable, bankable format, but everything conditions have to be right. You have to have a good signal. It's got to be FM. Yeah. Nobody's listening to AM radio in 2025. They're just not. I don't care how strong the signal is. It doesn't sound as good in your, you know, Lexus LS460, which is what the, you know, meat and potatoes target customer and listener is in sports radio. They've got a nice car with eight speakers in it. They don't want to listen to AM static radio. So that's number one. You got to have a good signal. Secondly, you got to have a sales staff that is dedicated to only selling sports. That's it. They don't sell sports and the FM music station, because then they go for the low-hanging fruit. And sports has to be, you're selling the demo, you're selling the affinity that advertisers and businesses have for host A and host B, and they want to advertise, okay? Right. And then you need to stay lean, lean, lean. Be nice to have these big staffs that we once had back in the day.
That's over. Yeah. No, the program director used to have an assistant. They don't even have a program director anymore.
We used to have a production director. He sat a small studio and cut together commercials all day. Yep. Full-time position.
Sure.
Depressing story number two in the media. Sports Business Journal says the NBA is preparing for FanDuel Sports Networks to shutter mid-season if this deal with DAZN or DAZN does not close. The league would utilize League Pass for 13 teams' games if FanDuel folds, and then ink temporary over-the-air deals. This is all part of the further cratering of what was once Bally Sports that turned into FanDuel Sports that is now going to be DAZN if they make it. If not, we're heading, Andy, back towards the Stone Ages of, no, you can't watch that game. It's not available on television.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, I'm so ignorant about this stuff, but FanDuel is involved in gambling, right?
Yes.
And my impression was when sports gambling was introduced that they thought it would become incredibly widespread. And my feeling was the people that gamble are going to continue to gamble, and the people like me are not going to really gamble. Now, I've been to games with my son, and he'll say, you know, well, I put, you know, $5 on the second half or something like that. But, you know, he's not a whale. I mean, where's this big influx of gambling money coming from?
That's a good question. I do think it is, you know, they are gaining a lot of casual gamblers, and they love those because they're reliable losers. And the kids in their 20s and teens are getting accounts on their phones, and they're doing these reckless anytime touchdown bets, which are sucker bets, but the kids love them. And so, it's growing, but it's not a panacea. Now, I guess I over-exaggerated by saying it'll be, you can't see this game at all. You'll always be able to see it if you buy like a league package. But the economics that floated baseball with the regional sports nets for a long time has collapsed. The NBA could be shortly behind it. Everything is melting down into digital pennies. What used to be broadcast dollars are now becoming digital pennies. And even platforms like Netflix that had this Jake Paul fight over the weekend. Did you watch that, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I heard it sucked.
Yeah. Jake Paul had his jaw broken in two spots by Joseph Anthony. Anyway, Netflix has said, we don't want full season rights. We just want special events like Christmas football in the NFL. Hold that thought. We're going to get to it in a second. But the whole economics of it is about to crater again. And I just think of the people I know that have nice jobs they'd love to keep working in television for either, you know, FanDuel or Bally before that. It's just a mess. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
And then there's this, Andy. You alerted me to this before we came on earlier this afternoon. Ed Cooley, head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas men's basketball program, has now been suspended for a game because in a fit of anger and frustration, he hurled his plastic water bottle full of water, so it had some heft and weight to it, into the stands, I guess accidentally. And it hit not just a mother and her child, but it hit a small child, like a toddler, right in the face.
He threw it in frustration after they lost the game.
Right.
And there's a lot of different levels to this. But I saw on Twitter that this had happened. Okay. So I go, okay, well, the place to go is the Washington Post. Because, and I, you know, I don't get the actual newspaper anymore, but I'm still a subscriber online, right, which I pay $170 a year. And there was a time when Georgetown had a beat reporter named Michael Wilbon, and Maryland had a beat reporter named John Feinstein.
Wow.
And both of them had regular conversations on the phone with the coaches, Lefty Driesell and John Thompson, and they would give you insight more than any other place. I went to the website to find out more details about this. The only thing they had was not just an AP Wire story, but an AP Wire story that was written by AI off the box score. So the only details in this limited story was, you know, who was the leading scorer and who had the most rebounds, and that Xavier won the game by three. And I'm thinking, this is insanity.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is they're so watered down in their staff. They had a lot of other things going on that night, including the Commanders playing. So that takes up a lot of personnel. The Wizards were playing, so whoever covers them had to do that. And Gene Wong, who has been left with, our mutual friend, has been left with the entire college beat for everything, football and basketball. He, a week or so ago, covered the Army-Navy game and got to Maryland in time for the second half to see this big game against Michigan, which I was at. And Gene was covering, and it was the right call. He was in Charlottesville covering Maryland playing Virginia. So there was no coverage of this whatsoever. And I was shocked by that. I watched the news conference online, and right. I thought, my God, this is a huge story. Something big is going to happen. And sure enough, he got suspended later in the day.
Got suspended for one game. Yeah. I don't know if you feel like that's the right amount of suspension for him or not, but
well, he apologized right away.
That doesn't matter.
No, it was wrong. But
you threw something that could have injured a child.
Yeah. And
you're the coach.
Can you imagine if John Thompson did this?
Oh,
this
would
be front page news.
You're supposed to be above it all as a coach. You're supposed to be a leader and an example setter. This was a tantrum. This, to me, in my world, the world I would like to live in, would be cause for Georgetown to seriously reconsider if he's the guy for the job. Well, we might have made a mistake in hiring this guy. Can you not control your emotions? How old are you, sir?
This is not that far from Knight throwing the chair.
It's actually worse because Knight's chair never hit a kid in the face.
Right.
And I know it's a plastic water bottle. Kid's going to be all right. He has apologized, but it's the point of, so you really can't control your emotions.
Yeah.
The story in the Associated Press that you screenshotted, Trey Carroll scored 22 points as Xavier beat Georgetown 80-77 on Saturday. Carroll had 8 rebounds for the Musketeers, record. Roddy Anderson III scored 14, blah, 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 blah.
It's written by AI.
Four paragraphs, Andy. At the bottom, it says, the Associated Press created this story using technology provided by DataScribe and data from Sports Radar.
Right. See, AP used to have a local sports reporter named Dave Ginsburg, had a long career with the Associated Press. And sometimes he would have to make a call. Like, for example, for this, he probably would have covered the Commanders game, but would have hired somebody as a stringer to cover this particular game so that you would have in the lead, Georgetown coach Ed Cooley apologized immediately to start his news conference after throwing his water bottle in the stands and hitting a child in the face after his team lost by 3 to Xavier or something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's no mention in that AI story. So this is where we're going now?
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Depressing, actually. Not disappointing, literally depressing. And I guess where it's all going is because if somebody is watching the game and they post to Twitter, hey, look at Cooley throw the bottle, why do you need the Associated Press in simple black and white writing to be there to chronicle it? It's already going to, you're going to get beaten by Twitter or other social media by somebody working for free who just watched the game and pulled the clip.
But you don't have the story. The story is that he apologized for it. And so far, there's been no reaction from the school or the Big East.
You're right. In a pure world, you want the story. But for most people, Andy, they just think, well, I know the story. I saw the clip.
Yeah.
And I might have seen his apology in the post-game presser. And if the school does something to him, we'll figure it out later.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's talk about the Commanders-Eagles game. It was ugly, full of fighting, and of course, Marcus Mariota got banged up and left the game, leading to an appearance by Josh Johnson. The best tweet I saw on Saturday night about Josh Johnson was actually dated 8 years ago, and the guy who tweeted it, some fan said, Josh Johnson been signing with teams long before you were born, and he gonna be doing it long after you're dead.
14 teams.
I was like, that is the greatest tweet ever.
He's 39 years old. Now, the only reason that he's on the team is because Sam Hartman was god-awful in the preseason. Hartman was supposed to win the third-string job, but he was so bad that they went with Josh Johnson, who, as you say, you know, just signs with teams and doesn't really play.
Right.
And so he had to play. And now the problem is if Marcus Mariota, who got stitches in his hand and is questionable to play on Thursday against the Cowboys, either it's going to be Josh Johnson, Sam Hartman, or some guy that they just sign off the street, because that's where they are.
This season for the Commanders cannot end soon enough. Agreed? Right.
Oh God, this is, I mean, they said the pendulum might swing back, you know, after all the luck that they had last year, winning five games on last drives and so forth. It swung back and it smacked them in the face and gave them a concussion. Yeah. I've never seen a season go downhill like this one. I mean, during the Gibbs first run, after they had beaten, Denver in that Super Bowl, the big one where, you know, all the touchdown passes were thrown and everything, 42-10. Mm-hmm. They finished 7-9, and then they got back on track like a year later. But they went from unbelievable to unbelievably bad.
All right, if I may, Andy, I'm going to throw some numbers at you. 25 of 32, 309 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That was what Joe Burrow put up against the Dolphins for a season that is as equally doomed for the Bengals as the Commander season. And he's playing with a titanium shoe cover on his injured turf toe.
Right.
And yet, when asked on Sunday, the day after the game, whether or not Jaden Daniels might be a candidate to come back and play quarterback since the Commanders need somebody, pretty much Dan Quinn said no. Because his elbow had an ouchie 2.5 weeks ago.
He said, not an option. It's not even possible that he's going to play.
Okay. What am I missing here?
I agree. I don't know, other than this is an organizational decision. This comes from the general manager with the okay or the encouragement of the owner. That's the only thing I can figure.
I mean, the Bengals are playing Burrow out of a sense of, I don't know, we're just pissed off and we don't want to quit on the season, even though it is objectively reckless, given that this is a foot for Burrow. This affects how he moves, can get stepped on easily. The elbow ouchie for Daniels on his non-throwing arm is theoretically far more protectable, and they thought it was going to be protectable until he got knocked on his bum on one play and then got spooked. And I believe a week ago I told you here on this podcast, watch, they're shutting him down. And I was right.
I'm surprised, other than the fact that they just are so concerned about an off-season of surgery, which is no way to run a business. I think he should be playing. And I think Dan Quinn feels this way, but he's probably overruled by his superiors. He's got to look at his players in the locker room and go, yeah, well, we got a quarterback who was rookie of the year last year, who's healthy enough to play. But we just signed Joe Schmo off the street, and we're going to have to start him this week. Right. Good luck to you guys against the Cowboys, who usually beat your ass anyway. even they're out of it, too.
Nikki Javala, who covers the team, says the Commanders considered possibly bringing in an outside QB if needed, if Mariota can't go on Christmas Day. Don't forget, they once started Garrett Gilbert, who is off the Patriots practice squad, to start against the Eagles 4 years ago today. I had forgotten about the Garrett Gilbert start for the Commanders.
They were totally out of quarterbacks at that. That was Taylor Heinicke.
Yes.
Who had gotten COVID, I believe. Because remember, Heinicke was brought in as the COVID quarterback in that.
Right.
In that, but they kept him separate from the other quarterbacks in case they had remember the Denver situation
Oh, right.
Got COVID and they had to play some guy who was a wide receiver who had once played quarterback a freshman at some tiny school and was a complete embarrassment. Remember that?
And he
wound up getting to play because they basically, you know, the late Dwayne Haskins, they eventually had to cut him. and so he was the only quarterback left. And then he got COVID.
So the Christmas Day games will feature Washington and Dallas, both well eliminated. Dallas eliminated with the Eagles' loss. They had some faint hopes of stealing the division. That's over. Kansas City, Denver. Kansas City lost Gardner Minshew today, and they had to put in Chris Oludokun. They played Denver, who got thumped by Jacksonville. And then Detroit and Minnesota. Detroit is not technically eliminated, but they are hanging on by a thread. Minnesota also lost J.J. McCarthy to an injury, and they had to put Max Brosmer back in. So your possible starters on Christmas Day include Chris Oludokun, Marcus Mariota, maybe, that'd be the good situation, and Max Brosmer in the three games broadcast by Netflix, and Amazon. This is, Andy, sweater, gas card, fruitcake subscription for a Christmas set of games. Worst Christmas ever.
And remember, they've only played 15 games. There are two more, and the league wants to go to 18. I'm telling you, we're going to have a Super Bowl with two quarterbacks of the ilk that you just mentioned there. It's going to happen.
Oh, my God. The game was also very chippy, including some real-life actual brawls, which you don't see much in the NFL. So, obviously, the two teams have a lot of hate for each other. One of them started after Nick Sirianni decided to go for two, up 17 late with, like, under 4 minutes to play. Dan Quinn said, oh, if that's how they want to get down, we'll see him in 2 weeks. And I'm just laughing going, the fuck are you talking about, Quinn?
Here's the thing. They went for two. I think Sirianni was protecting Jake Elliott, who, for whatever reason, he wants to
keep. Got the yips.
He was terrible.
Right.
And so he didn't. I don't think he wanted him to kick even an extra point. It was okay having him kick off. So he didn't want him to kick an extra point and possibly miss. On top of that, I also thought about Max Zendejas. You remember Max Zendejas, who was with the Redskins briefly in 1986?
One of the three flying Zendejai who kicked in the NFL. There was Tony, there was Max, and there was Luis.
Right. So anyway, they brought in Max when they cut Mosley, and he missed over the course of about six games, five extra points. And finally, in a 31-30 loss to the Denver Broncos, he, of course, missed an extra point. They were going to cut him and not owe him any more money, but it was in Denver, and he somehow burned his foot on the sideline heater, and they had to pay him and put him on injured reserve because of that.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
That's when they brought in Jess Atkinson, and Atkinson actually kicked them to the Super Bowl where they or to the I guess it was to the championship game where they lost to the Giants. So
Jess Atkinson, nice kid, nice guy. He ended up being on TV on WJLA, went to Maryland. His career was ended when Andre Dirty Waters plowed into his plant leg on an extra point or a field goal. Absolutely brutally dirty play.
Yeah, he actually did kick for another couple teams in the NFL.
End his career? Okay. But it ended his season for sure.
Yeah, ended his season, and that's the season that they won the Super Bowl. They had to get Ali Hajishik as the kicker that year.
By the way, I shorted the flying Zendejai. You had Tony, Max, and Luis. There was also Marty, who kicked in the NFL in the Arena League, and Joaquin Zendejas, the brother of Luis and Max, who had a connection to the LA Express but never made it to the NFL.
They also had Jesse Zendejas, too.
Really?
A lot of Zendejas.
It's a lot of them. So there was that. Also, somebody pointed out that Dan Quinn was calling petty timeouts late to make the Eagles keep running plays. And then one of the Commanders players got hurt. It was Jerzon Newton, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
after soon as Newton got hurt, then Quinn's like, all right, just stop calling timeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. What are you doing? But the Commanders moved up a spot in the draft order, so at least there's that. They're currently sitting in the seventh spot at 4-11, nestled snugly between Arizona and New Orleans. 3 wins and 5 wins, respectively. Got your eyes set on anybody at 7, Andy?
No, they need to trade the pick so they can get more picks. They only have 5 picks because of the trades that they made, including the disastrous one with Marshawn Lattimore.
You're a trade the pick guy, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have to.
All right. So I want to talk about the Packer-Bear game for a second. There's a couple things to talk about. One is the hit that knocked Jordan Love out of the game. The other one is the onside kick and whether or not you can blame a special teams coordinator in Rich Bisaccia, who has been under siege in Green Bay and Wisconsin for 2 years now because his units have sucked and they've had disaster after disaster. And yet the Packers, being the nice franchise, don't want to fire him mid-season. And this is something that's happened before. Basically, the Packers threw the game away in a very similar fashion to the way they threw away the 2014 NFC Championship game in Seattle. Like, literally shot by shot, play by play, it looked the same on 3 different plays, including the game-winning touchdown catch. Hell of a catch by DJ Moore with Keyshawn Nixon draped all over him. But I want to talk about the hit for a second, okay? And let me see if I can pull this up here on my share screen so we can look at it together. Okay, here we go right here. Okay, good. Can you see that, Andy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can.
All right, so here is Booker for the Bears coming in on this play, all right?
Yeah.
He's 2 steps away from Love, and he's mostly upright, Booker. You can actually read his name on the back of his jersey, right?
Right.
In the final step forward, he lowers the angle of his head and his upper body for impact, but watch what Love does as well. He lowers his own head so his face doesn't get caved in, because if he didn't, Booker might have hit him square in the face. So Love lowers his head, Booker comes through, and kabam. Absolute mollywhopping right there. And then, of course, Love goes down and he grabs his helmet. And as soon as he did that, I go, oh, he's done for the game. Even the blue tent of medical miracles, Andy, will not resurrect him from this hit. Was it a, quote, dirty hit? It was flagged, did give the Packers a first down. Malik Willis came in and really played well, but was it dirty?
I didn't think so. And look, I think that's a natural reaction. When you're wrapping your arms, your head dips automatically. I don't think he was necessarily dipping his head to hit him with the crown of his helmet.
Right.
That's the way I saw the play in real time.
That's the way I saw it as well. But, you know, Packer fans, some of them being hysterical, it's dirty, because he also kind of pile drove Love earlier in the game onto his shoulder, which they're now calling more and more. Either way, it was a tough deal. The other one was the onside kick, which Romeo Doubs fumbled and the Bears recovered. Okay. I've said, look, this offseason, they're going to quietly, the Packers go, we've moved on from special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia. He's exploring other opportunities. It'll be a ho-hum little release sometime in February. And this was a huge game, which didn't knock the Packers out of the playoffs. With the Lions losing today, they've still got a really good shot. They just got to win one more game, basically, and hope the Lions don't win out their final 2. But basically, it was like, all right, you can't just say, in my book, Andy, well, you can't fire the coach. The player made a mistake. The coach, every mistake for a unit, in my opinion, it gets billed to the coordinator's room, so to speak, whether or not he had coached it up correctly. But more importantly, I don't think you and I or anyone on the couch really knows just whether or not that play was repped correctly, right? Because we're not NFL coaches, obviously. So how do we know if they really did it right? Just because you had the receiving team and Doubs with a chance to recover, was it really the right way to position guys? That's my problem. Yeah. Your thoughts?
To me, football is unknowable. And and I don't know if you saw the clip from Kirk Cousins this week. Did you watch him?
I did. Yes, it was fascinating.
Okay. And that is the NFL. And it's not just the quarterback position. It's a lot of other positions. I mean, the image of the dumb jock playing football is ridiculous. So, yeah, you're right. We don't know what went on and how that was coached and who said what and who was supposed to do what. So, yeah, I totally agree with
I'm
that.
I'm trying to get this play up here so we can take a look at it real quick. And I'm going to stop sharing on that and see if this will work right here. It's just not working. I mean, Dobbs does kind of retreat from the ball at first. Mm-hmm. I noticed a couple players were loafing. Bo Melton didn't even get a finger on anybody, and he was the second to inside blocker who's supposed to wall off the Bears players. He didn't touch anybody, so that doesn't sound like a good rep to me. Also, Jacobs fumbled and got hurt in the game and then was taken out for Wilson. And he didn't play another snap since he fumbled, except for the onside's kick.
And that's because he's on that team, that when they call that special team, he's supposed to go out there. So somebody had to make that switch, and they didn't.
Okay, I guess so. But, like, if he's hurt or if you're worried about his hands on a cold night, why? Why is he out there? Those are all things that we won't know. All I know is the Packers special teams is ranked in the bottom five of the league in the last who knows how many years. Change the guy out, because you never know what tweak the new guy could implement that actually tightens up the unit. You know what you're getting. To me, special teams coordinators are disposable coaches. And when it's not working, dispose of them and move on. The Rams did that with McVay this week. They fired their special teams coordinator.
Right, but here's another thing about onside kicks that doesn't seem to be understood by the receiving team. The kicking team isn't allowed to touch it until it goes 10 yards. The receiving team can touch it before it goes 10 yards. And you see these guys like waiting for it to go 10 yards. They're in the NFL. Don't they understand this? Happens more times than, I mean, we don't see
they should know that.
Kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The onside kick now works at an 8% clip, I believe. And there's some idiots.
Oh, you got to declare it, which would have ruined one of the great Super Bowls of all time when the Saints came out in the second half and onside kicked. Can't do that anymore.
Right.
Can't do it.
Well, safety, Andy. Yeah, the game's dangerous. Yeah, safety.
Yeah. So how's the safety working out with the quarterback role that you just described a few minutes ago? How's that working out?
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. And yet they picked one play, the onside kick, as the only dangerous play.
Well, it's perception. That's Roger Goodell's world. Just make the public believe that it's safe. That's why the bump shots, when you always come back, oh, it's kids playing flag football. Yes, have your kids play flag football. It's nice and safe. The NFL, if you stand on the sidelines for a game, you will be shocked. And I've even talked to players who played a long time and retired and stand there and go, Jesus, how did we do this?
You know? Yeah. So the Packers catch the Ravens next week, and then the Vikings on the road. Vikings are down to Max Brosmer, it looks like. So I think they'll win a game, or at least the Lions will lose a game. So that means the Packers are going to be the last wild card, the 7th seed for the third year in a row, which means most likely they will go to where? Chicago for a third matchup against the Bears, which will be quite interesting, because even though the Bears came back to win, the Packers were beating them without Micah Parsons and with their backup quarterback. So
might be the year, though. You know, this could be the Bears kind of year, because there's no great team in the NFL.
No, absolutely not, Andy. This is not just my newfound Packer homerism talking. The Bears are not that good. Look at the Bear wins this year. They've had five miracle wins. They're not unlike what the Vikings were last year. The Vikings did this last year. They were pulling rabbit out of a hat, rabbit out of a hat, rabbit out of a hat.
Same thing. Washington did that too. And they won and they won a game in Detroit because Detroit fumbled the ball like 20 times.
Yeah. So there's that. College football, it was a meh weekend other than Alabama versus Oklahoma. That was the only good game. The Texas A&M Miami game was close, but it was not good. Yeah. And I made the point on Twitter. I said, if anybody's still unclear after this thrilling three missed field goals, 0-0 first half between Miami and A&M, then these athletes are still absolutely amateurs, of which 98% will never sniff a pro roster. And yet, we've committed to paying them collectively $20 million per school, per year or more. It's absolute madness that is well on its way to collapsing the whole enterprise as we know it. But hey, it's the madness that's been agreed upon. Now back to the game. I got the requisite amount of, okay, old man, get off your lawn. Other people saying, well, why does this matter to you? I also pointed out that Carson Beck is making $4 million a year. And through three quarters, he had 80 yards of passing. 4 million is absurd.
But the school gets, I don't know what, but an amount of money that makes it worthwhile if they make it to the playoff to pay these guys. And that's where it's going right now. Until they get this under control with contracts, this is the way it's going to work.
You also had two schools that didn't belong and proved they didn't belong, although JMU with one hell of a backdoor cover. I had a tiny slice of action on the game, like literally $6, and I had Oregon minus, and JMU went on drives of 5 yards, 3 yards, and minus 8 yards, and then the game was into the fourth quarter, and Oregon let off the gas, and JMU went 9 plays, 89 yards, touchdown. 9 plays, 99 yards, touchdown, 2-point conversion to cover the 20 and a half. Fucking gambling. Unbelievable. But those were two zilch games. The Tulane Ole Miss game was a zilch. This was a zilch. The right number, I say, Andy, is 8. Nobody wants to hear it. 8 is great. That's all you need.
It's going to be 24. That's where it's going to go because these other bowl games are crapola. They're going to get rid of those, and they're going to move some of those to the beginning of the year, and there's going to be 24. And the problem with this Cinderella idea for football, it does not work because they're standalone games. They take forever to play. It's not like, you can go, oh, True TV. Oh, look, Appalachia, or, name a school, some small school.
Right, Robert Morris. Robert Morris is about to knock off Villanova.
Yeah, you go to it, and you only watch a few minutes. Yeah. You got to watch these whole stinking games they turn into blowouts. And here's something else. The NCAA tournament is up against regular season NDA. Regular season NDA sucks. This college football is up against the NFL, and even bad NFL is good. It's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good, and people are going to watch it. And you had the Commanders playing the Eagles, okay, and the Commanders are not good, and the Eagles are defending champs, but it was still good football, better than anything else that was going on in the college game, better than anything.
Michigan is reeling. They thought they might have a shot at Kalen DeBoer. Whoops, he won his game. Their backup plan was Kenny Dillingham of ASU. Whoops, he leveraged them to get better money for himself and his assistants, and he's staying out there in the Valley of the Sun. Dillingham then offered the quote of the weekend, which I think is going to be a quote which will be remembered for a long time, in which he basically said, what's the big deal? Somebody out there has to have $20 million they can just give us. Here's Coach Dilly Dilly.
We need to find one of these really rich people in this city to step up and stroke a check, and I'll do everything I can to make you the most famous person in the city. Right? That's really what we need. We need... One person. We live in Phoenix, Arizona. You're telling me there's not one person who could... a $20 million check right now.
He's shaming billionaires or millionaires into stroking a check.
Great. Like, where's the art of the sell in this? Oh, I'm going to make you the most famous guy. Yeah. So what? They're rich. They don't need to be famous. There are limits to the amount that you can extract from millionaires and billionaires. People think it's unlimited. It's not unlimited. They've scooped up all the low-hanging fruit. And as the results come in, which are not very good, that money's going to dry up. This is the most unsustainable thing I've seen since Homer Simpson was going to try to work 3 jobs to pay for a pony for Lisa, his daughter. Well, if you know, Simpson fans.
I've been fortunate to know a couple of billionaires. You know what billionaires don't want? Anybody knowing their business.
A lot of them.
Be famous. That's how they got to be billionaires. They hold their cards close to their chest. Yeah. And especially at this time where people are freaking out about what they're going to have to pay for health insurance and the economy, and this Schmigegi is trying to shame somebody into spending $20 million for a football team? You got to be nuts.
God. And then lastly this, Andy. Tom Brady is apparently crashing out over the fact that his former ex, Giselle, has remarried happily to her jiu-jitsu instructor, with whom she already has a child. Joaquin Valente is his name. He is a handsome fella looking to me, but he's just the jiu-jitsu instructor. This is the equivalent of being the pool boy, and she has married him. The ultimate status symbol of Tom Brady's wife makes more getting out of bed than Brady does winning a football game. She married the pool boy, and Brady apparently is not dealing with it well. He posted to Instagram a picture of him with his Forever Young Tom Brady 12 Method hoodie, but the song was this song called 800-273-8255, which is the suicide hotline. It's a song by Logic featuring Alessia Cara and Khalid. And people are like going, Brady, are you all right, bro?
He's got to be the only guy in America who's upset that his ex-wife is remarrying. You know,
I know.
Most guys. Oh, I'm off the hook.
Most guys think less money I got to pay her in alimony. Perfect.
Yeah. But you know who else left a very famous person to marry? I think it was a karate instructor.
Who?
Priscilla Presley.
Really?
Priscilla Presley. That's why she left Elvis. She left Elvis for the karate instructor.
You gotta
Elvis
watch
was,
him.
You know, Elvis was Meshuggah anyway. He was lying in bed all day and eating peanut butter sandwiches, but still, you know, it was Elvis.
Knowing that Tom Brady is an absolute certified narcissist, I understand how this is hitting him hard. He does not like this. Tom Brady is royalty in his mind, and with the money he's being paid insanely by Fox. And by the way, I think he's getting pretty good at calling games.
I don't know about you. I think because Greg Olson did the Commanders game, I haven't seen him do games very much this year. I realized how good he is. He's still better than Brady, but Brady is getting better. I agree with that.
All right. We've gone long. I appreciate your time. The Sunday night game is going on. I appreciate everybody who subscribes here to the Zabecast, both for free Monday through Friday, and especially those Monday through Thursday, I should say, and especially for those who subscribe to Fridays. It helps keep us going. And, you know, with the media landscape collapsing on all fronts around us, as we chronicled here, support the people you like. I got people I subscribe to. I got things I watch on the regular. So just keep that in mind. We're going to be living in a world of micropayments to the people that you respect and like, and that's just going to be have to be how it is when it's all said and done. All right.
Merry Christmas to you, your family.
Merry Christmas, Sandy. And I'm sorry there's not going to be a good movie in the theater on Christmas Day for you to see and then eat Chinese. At least the Chinese food will still be delivered.
Well, I got to watch the Commanders. They're on at 1 o'clock on Christmas Day.
What a joyous watch that'll be. All right, Andy. We'll see you next time. Thank you, brother.
Hi, Sam. Take care.
That'll be it for me. Thanks for so much for downloading and listening. Have yourself a Merry Christmas week. We continue the podcast because what else do I have to do? And there is football and stuff and stories happening left and right. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. A lovely day.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.